how's it been for you doing shows? I know you do a simulcast on Facebook as well, without much in the way of concrete sports for the last couple of months. How have you attacked it, and has it been more rewarding than maybe you thought it would be?
Hey, Josh. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Thanks for having me on. We're all safe out here. And I'm at the golf course, by the way. So if it gets too windy, I'll go inside. You tell me. But it hasn't been a problem because there's still been news daily. And I'm sure you found that with the shows that you've done. There's always something to talk about. And secondly, you know, we've had guys on like Warren Moon and Chris Pronger, some Hall of Famers. Lanny McDonald was on our show last week. Rich Sutter is a regular analyst. You know, will they play? Won't they play? Mixed with story time and all the rest, and just trying, frankly, to keep the profile of the Canadian Football League up at a time where they should be playing and they're not, because it's easy for the CFL to get trampled in the major markets. And I was real excited to get the email from your producer to come on and talk CFL in prime time weekend radio time slot, you know, this weekend. So I'm real happy to do that.
So you looking at the CFL, it seems like it's been somewhat contentious between the league and the Players Association. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of traction right now as far as really anything goes. So as far as you know, just where do things kind of stand between the league and its players, just to maybe start taking some steps in the right direction to put things together in the event that they can have a season?
Well, it's been a turbulent 100 plus days, honestly, Josh, and we've learned a lot of things. One is, I think the sports fans across the country, in a lot of CFL markets anyways, hold the CFL up in the regard of the NHL and NFL in terms of they think the money is there. And we found out that the money is not. So any CBA negotiations are always contentious between the owners and the players in any league. That part's true. But the league is in a critical situation that I don't think this is what people didn't understand. There's not a lot of money there. For instance, my former club, the Saskatchewan Roughriders, announcing just last week, the president of the team, that they will be out of money by the end of September, vis-a-vis going bankrupt if they don't get some sort of financial infusion. That's the Saskatchewan Roughriders. They're the Dallas Cowboys of the CFL. So I don't think people understood how dire this is for the league. So the commissioner, Randy Ambrosi, has been dealing with government officials, you know, obviously in Ottawa at the federal level. He's assembled a return-to-play committee that includes disease and medical experts. Randy's been working his butt off. He hasn't been that communicative with the players, and the players are very upset about that. I think we can all understand it. I think the average salary in the CFL is $95,000 a year. People see the most highest-paid player in BC, quarterback Mike Riley, making $750,000, and they think everybody's making that. And that's not the case. So the players have been upset. They want a decision from the commissioner. When are we going to return to play? And it's been crickets for weeks. Until, I guess, within the last few days, a memo has gone to the Players Association saying, would you accept these conditions to play? It still has to go to a vote, just like the National Hockey League Players Association. But we're not dealing with billions. We're dealing with millions in the CFL. And to be honest with you, in a lot of cases, thousands. That's the difference. So I think that the league unilaterally here soon is going to force a back-to-work legislation, return to play, and it'll be up to the players to accept it or not. So there's still a good chance they won't play, but they're getting close to having a plan or a proposal, let's put it that way.
So, Ron, I had seen that in the CFL memo that you mentioned, there was a number of lists of items but that were being discussed in terms of what it would take to have the season return. And one of those items was, and I quote, an acceptable level of federal government financial support / assistance, end quote. And so in terms of what does that number look like, I guess, considering that the CFL has asked already the federal government for up to $150 million, I believe the number was so far?
Well, that was absolute worst case scenario, and Ambrosi actually clarified after that meeting with the standing committee that is worst case scenario covering 2 years. What they're seeking right now, I don't know that figure. It would be well south of $150 million, but it would be well north of the $3 million per team just to get them through the summer. But this is what I do know. If there is not federal funding for the Canadian Football League, they're not playing this season, and the future of the CFL is in jeopardy. I point back to what the Rough Riders announced last week. They'll be bankrupt by the end of September without some sort of financial aid. Now, I think it's got to come from Ottawa. I think everybody thinks it's got to come from Ottawa. But that's not a slam dunk. I mean, this is a highly, highly delicate issue because, you know, the Liberal government's not going to want to look bad. They're not make themselves look bad. Rankle Canadians, putting sports ahead of health. This is kind of where this is where the CFL is at right now, on the precipice of the decision coming from Ottawa. Because if they don't get it, where do people step up now? I mean, to be honest, guys, 23 years ago in 1997, the NFL rode to the CFL's rescue, really when it was at death's door the last time. I think there's a chance the NFL could do it again. But the $4.5 million they spent back then isn't going to come anywhere close to cutting it this time. So I think if we're talking about the future of the CFL, they're not going to do it on their own. They're going to need some aid. And if it's not Ottawa, you know, where is it going to come from?
Rod Peterson's with us, and we've already seen some players be pretty outspoken about where things are and maybe it forcing their hand a little bit. And James Wilder Jr., who won a great cup with the Argos a couple of years ago and then went on to play with the Alouettes, decided to retire, just basically said, you know what, I can't wait around on this anymore, has kids and a family, and just I can't wait around anymore. So the longer this thing drags out, do you think we might start to see more players, if not retire, then really start to evaluate other options, whether it's the NFL or maybe something altogether outside of football?
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to see that. And as a matter of fact, I had S.J. Green on my show on Friday from Tampa Bay. Absolute Argos star, you know, and won two great cups with the Montreal Alouettes. S.J. said the same thing. He said, time's ticking. These are guys that have made a lot of dough. S.J., or by CFL standards, S.J. even had a chance to play in the XFL in the offseason. So, you know, SJ literally said, I'm sitting here, I've heard nothing, time's ticking. So James Wilder, yeah, has moved on. That's where, if I had a criticism of the Players Association, that would be it, with the executive director, Brian Ramsey, the president, Solomon Elamimian, who's a current active player, linebacker for the Rough Riders. I would be telling the players, guys, do what you have to do. If you need to go move on, find work, go do it. In the case of James Wilder, he's opened a fitness facility in Tampa Bay and is going to be coaching high school football. Who knows whether they're going to be playing or not. But I just see the players sitting around waiting for a decision from the commissioner. Guys, he's not in a position to make that call right now.
Yeah.
And if he forced them to, he would say, we're not playing. Because right now, we can't. In terms of outdoor gatherings, the safety of the players, the health of he can't. So he's trying to move mountains to get the players on the field. He doesn't have an answer for them. So I would tell any CFL player, do what you have to do. And it doesn't seem like people are they're getting that direction at this time.
You know, we've seen some discussion as well, Rod, go as far as Winnipeg when it comes to having a hub if the season does resume. And similar to how we've seen discussion around Toronto and Edmonton be NHL hubs for that league. But what about Winnipeg stands out to you as a place that works for a hub beyond, let's say, some place out west like Calgary or Regina?
Well, the facilities, obviously. I mean, I've been to Investors Group Field in Winnipeg. Their new stadium, it opened in 2013. It's one of the most beautiful stadiums in Canada, North America as well. I haven't really been around the U of M campus, but they're telling me dorms, outdoor fields, another indoor field. I mean, I don't know what the proposal is going to look like. But when that news came out on Thursday, and I broke that story on Winnipeg Radio, that Winnipeg was going to be the hub city, I still believe that they are if this league gets games in 2020. I just don't think the league was in position to announce it yet. You saw a lot of the Winnipeg media saying, oh, this Rod's report's premature. They didn't say it was wrong. So I can't tell you how they won the bid, if it was a bid process over other leagues, or sorry, other cities, other than to say their cases are minimal. Manitoba and the city of Winnipeg, really from the start of COVID back in early March, it has not ravaged the province like it has some other. Edmonton's gone up and down. Regina's been relatively low. And, you know, Hamilton was eyeing it, Hamilton-Burlington area for housing CFL players. They've been ruled out. So why Winnipeg over the others? I just got to think they've got the facilities and they've got very low case numbers. That would be my answer.
So I'm actually kind of curious, you know, as a way to maybe, I guess, recoup some revenue and bring some money in, if Winnipeg is doing such a great job and it is considered the front runner, if not already been granted the hub, if they are able to reach an agreement, do you think there's any possible way, if they can work it out with the government and get the green light, that some fans will be allowed in as a means of bringing in extra cash flow? Or do you imagine that that's completely off the table?
Well, I mean, if the Manitoba government decides that they can have outdoor gatherings, for instance, let's talk about major junior hockey. I'm not sure what they're saying in the OHL or even the Q, but in the Western Hockey League, they're talking about starting play in September to 50% capacity of arenas. That is through four Western provinces and two U.S. states. So if the cases continue to be low in Winnipeg and they do allow for outdoor gatherings, then yes. I mean, you see the owner of the BC Lions, David Braley, has come out and said he would be in favor of opening up BC Play Stadium to 25% capacity, 50% capacity. Now, this is a guy talking dollars and cents, David Braley, but he says, hey, instead of losing $14 or $15 million, maybe we're only losing $2 or $3 million. You're talking about getting a little bit of cash flow going, as you guys said. Plus, there's the television rights that would come in that would cover the salary cap for the Canadian Football League. So that is another reason why Winnipeg might have been chosen. I think ideally they would love to have fans come into the stadiums. As it stands right now, it's not. But as far as the bubble city model of the NBA, NHL, the CFL is just not in position because it doesn't have the TV revenue. So I would say that's on the table. But as we said here today, July 5th, they're still not allowing gatherings to that size.
Yeah. You know, one thing I saw as well when it comes to the CFL memo to the Players Association, Rod, that the date they've put down is July 23rd, which is less than 3 weeks away. Is that enough time to you for this to be sorted out? It doesn't really feel like it to me.
No, well, it depends on what your business model is in terms of getting Americans into the country. Right. Are they going to be forced to a 14-day quarantine, or are they going to be able to skirt the rules like the Toronto Blue Jays, or what the NHL is going to do? Now, the NHL, I still believe, is planning on beginning first week of August, but there's a lot of hoops that need to be jumped through with the government. And also, I mean, I've been talking with government officials, travel agents. I mean, you can still fly across the border. You can't drive across the border. How are the players getting here? There's a lot of logistical problems there. As a matter of fact, Stephen Brunt and Jeff Blair were talking about it Friday. I heard on their show, on your station, about the players generally do drive. So a lot of things have to happen in the next couple of weeks. I would think of this from the players' perspective, though, at least they'll have an answer. You know, whether they're playing or whether they're not. They've got the proposal from the league filtered through the Players Association. At least they've got an idea, and we'll know by July 23rd or not whether there's a season. And on the top end, the commissioner is still dealing with the federal government. I think we should know by then, too, if Ottawa is willing to pick up the tab for this. Because if Ottawa isn't, they're not playing. And then we're having a different conversation. That is there a CFL beyond 2020?
Rod Peterson's with us. And obviously that no one was prepared in any way for what's happened here, whether it's in real life or in sports. But now everyone's dealing with the cards that they've been dealt. And Randy Ambrosi is certainly not immune from that. And with the way that this whole thing's going, some circumstances seem to be out of his control a little bit. But if things don't go great here and the CFL season doesn't end up happening, how much of that is a referendum on his just entire tenure as commissioner? Like, if the season gets canceled, considering everything, is it something that he'll never really be able to escape?
Oh, no, Josh. And you know what? That, in my opinion, Solomon Elamimian came out just a couple of weeks ago as the head of the Players Association and said, listen, this is not a Randy Ambrosi issue. The fact that this league is top heavy in terms of presidents making $500,000, general managers making close to that, and the players' average salary being $95,000, Solomon Elamimian said, and you guys know the name, former MVP of the year in the Canadian Football League, because I've played under three commissioners in this league, Mark Cohan, Jeffrey Orridge, and now Randy Ambrosi. The systemic shaft that the players have been getting pervade all those guys' tenures as commissioners. It's not about Randy Ambrosi. So he is sitting there trying to get the CFL back on the field this year, as I mentioned, meeting with Ottawa, putting it together as return to play medical committee. This is what, no. I mean, it does not look bright for the CFL, but you cannot hang 100 years of what I would call business mismanagement on Randy Ambrosi. Now, on the flip side, I've been at his news conferences at Grey Cup the last 3 years where he says they want to double or triple ticket inventory and sales, fill the stadiums, double the business of the CFL, glow it globally. None of that's happened. But I don't necessarily think that's his fault. Yeah. And I do believe that if the CFL, we've compared this on our show to a house that's on fire. Are you calling the fire department right now, or are you calling the insurance? your insurance off and just letting it go. And we'll rebuild, because I think the business of the CFL is what needs to change. And I do credit Solomon Elamimian for pointing out two things. One, the only people in the CFL not being paid right now are the players. That's a crime. And that points to point two, CFL business has been upside down for a real long time, and the pandemic has exposed that. How could you blame Randy Ambrosi for that? You can't.